know that you're not accustomed to having people give your sermon from up here, but today I feel like I need something a little more solid. Maybe it's all this talk of levitation. Maybe it's the fact that I'm very sleep deprived because I've been moving. As Peggy knows, she saw me buying various sundry cleaning products over at Walmart. But at any rate, this feels more right this morning. Today we are celebrating Ascension Sunday. And actually, Ascension Day is Thursday. It is a major festival of the church. It's one that kind of gets glossed over a lot of times because it normally falls on Thursday. Well, not normally, it always falls on Thursday. 40 days after Easter. And most of us aren't accustomed to coming to church on Thursday. So we celebrate this today. The 40 is an interesting biblical number. You'll find it over and over in the Bible, and it denotes that there is a significant spiritual experience that is occurring during that time. And indeed, during this time of Jesus' resurrection and Jesus' ascension, he appeared multiple times to his disciples. And we heard many of those stories in these last weeks. The story of the disciples and Thomas, the story of the two that are on the road to Emmaus, cooking fish on the beach. Many of these stories appear, all the Gospels have experiences. Why? Because it's making the point very, very clearly and solidly that this Jesus who was dead is alive. But the intention was not for him to stay. Ascension Day is this majestic story of Jesus being lifted up with a cloud taking him out of sight. The message for us, this risen Christ, is now raised to the right hand of God, exalted as Lord and King, the risen Christ who is, was, and always will be. It marks a pivotal point in the gospel story. For prior to that, Jesus' ministry was physically on this earth. Now the mantle is being passed on. From now on, the emphasis shifts to the ministry of Jesus' disciples and the birth of the church through the power of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. But that event is yet to come. That's next Sunday. And certainly, that wasn't what was on the minds of the disciples as Jesus was disappearing into the clouds. More likely, they were in shock and certainly mystified. Their mouths hanging open as they gazed up into the heavens, and two beings appear in white robes beside them. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? You can almost hear the conversation. The disciples are standing there, gazing dumbfounded up into the sky, and then they seem to snap them out of it. Get a grip, men. Do you think you are going to be rising up into the clouds too? Not a chance. Your work is just beginning. Jesus promised you his spirit, and you are going to get it. Believe it. So what do the disciples do? Well, that's the next part of the story. So I'm going to tell you. They return to the upper room in Jerusalem where they were staying. Sounds very similar to that first night after Jesus' death. Only this time, everything is radically different. Before, they were huddled in fear behind locked doors. Now they are gathered together, and the text says, constantly devoting themselves in prayer, in expectation of the Spirit. Before they were confused, lost, and they thought alone. Now they are hope-filled, knowing that Jesus truly has won victory over death. They are expectant, wondering what was meant when it was said that they would receive the Spirit. But it's not yet. Pentecost is yet to come. In the liturgical calendar, there are 10 days from Ascension Day on Thursday to Pentecost Sunday next week. It marks a unique in-between time, a period of waiting, a period of uncertainty, a period of anticipation. Jesus is no longer physically with them, and yet neither have they received the promised Holy Spirit. They are in between. And it is a concept not too foreign to us in our own journeys through life. Last night we had a graduation ceremony at Iolani School. 218 students are blurry-eyed this morning after celebrating all night at Dave & Buster's. Their elementary and high school years are successfully completed, a huge milestone in their and their parents' lives. Eagerly, they look forward to college, and yet there is a twinge of bittersweet awareness, an awareness that all 218 of them are heading off in different directions. Their relationships and the security of life as they knew it will not be the same. A lot of unknowns. Exciting, but also a bit scary. High school is behind them. College is yet to come. And they are in between. Life cycles through these in-between times. Sometimes the excitement and anticipation outweigh the fear and confusion. But as they get older, these in-between times are more often than not something of a wilderness time, a time of uncertainty. We know that. Between jobs, whether by choice or not. Between marriage and divorce. Between having cancer and being cancer-free. And a wilderness time of treatment. Between pronouncement of terminal illness and death. During these in-between times, we may find ourselves gazing upward to heaven, figuratively, if not literally, in something of a daze, not sure what to do. At those times, it can be helpful to remember this in-between time between Ascension and Pentecost and respond to the disciples. The disciples' response was to gather together, enveloping themselves within community. This serves as a reminder of the importance of community, of gathering together, allowing family, friends, a faith community to share in the in-between uncertainties in which we find ourselves. Bishop Hansen just sent out a pastoral letter. It was regarding many overwhelmed and anxious people stretching from the plains of North Dakota to the bayous of Louisiana, where floodwaters and torrential rain washed out communities and cropland, and destructive tornadoes have leveled miles in cities and towns and killed hundreds. The building of Peace Lutheran Church in Joplin, Missouri was one of the casualties of the tornadoes, but as Bishop Hansen writes, not the faith of its members. Last Sunday, those parishioners gathered in their parking lot in the midst of debris and shattered hopes to worship in the name of the risen Christ. A definite in-between time for them, but not one forever hope. They too, like the disciples, gather together, gain strength from one another and from the presence of God with them. Just a few days ago, tornadoes swept through Springfield, Massachusetts, killing at least 3, injuring nearly 100, and destroying homes of 22 refugee families served by Lutheran Social Services in New England. The ELCA New England Synod's Assembly was held in Springfield this weekend. Bishop Margaret Payne requested that Assembly participants bring non-perishable and other emergency food items to the Assembly. Synod attendees had planned to spend part of yesterday in mission projects throughout the Springfield area, but as a result of the disaster, some of these projects were shifted to help clean up from the tornado damage. Said Bishop Payne, "We're going to have an opportunity what matters in ways that we haven't even expected in helping people in this town." The people in Springfield impacted by this tornado are in an in-between time, too. But community is surrounding them in their need. There are times when we are numb, when we can do little, but those around us can. And we can be that source of strength for others. As Bishop Hansen said in his pastoral letter, in the aftermath of storms that seem relentless, we may feel overwhelmed and anxious, but not powerless. For God's promise is clear. Nothing in all creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Trusting in God's promise and the power of the Holy Spirit, we respond by joining together in God's work of restoring community. The liberating power of the gospel frees us to prepare Lucas and Coleman and Phil Sandy to Fargo on behalf of people we don't know and may.
being here. On a personal level, I understand the extreme exhaustion of people in between too. This move has been quite an experience. And my sister from the mainland said, "Oh, Diana, I'll come out and help you." And I'm like, no need. Well, she came anyway. Thank goodness she did. What was I thinking? I don't know. The second important response of the disciples during this in-between period is that they gather together, constantly devoting themselves to prayer. When we are totally at our wit's end, we do have some place to turn to: prayer. We are not trapped. We are not without direction. And the disciples' example also teaches us to expect the action, direction, and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Theologian Karl Barth called the time between Ascension and Pentecost a significant pause. I like that image. In-between times in our lives truly can be significant pauses, whether we wanted them, planned them, anticipated them, or none of the above. They can be timeouts to reorganize, reprioritize, significant pauses that lead to life.